Episode 98 of Outlander Cast is brought to you by BarkBox. For a free extra month of BarkBox, visit BarkBox.com/OutlanderCast when you subscribe to a 6 or 12-month plan.
Sorry so many times. It came to me so often. In a dream sometimes. I was in a fever. I was so afraid and so lonely, I knew I must die. Whenever I needed you, I would see you. Smiling. Your hair curled around your face. You never touched me.
I can touch you now.
Of us now.
I quit. I'm free, Church. Working for a papist is one thing, but working for an immoral papist is another.
Geordie.
Do as you like with your own soul, man, but if it's come to orgies in the shop, it's come too far. God's tooth. It's not even noon.
All the way from Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. Hello, hello. Thank God we're finally here. We're finally here, guys. We get to talk about the print shop. We get to talk about the reunion, especially after that extra week of Droughtlander. We're here. We're ready to go for it. So I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I never thought that a brothel would be so romantic or so sexy ever. But I'm glad I'm there now. I'm glad I can at least see the light,
right?
for this for a little bit at least. Very happy, very very happy. And after all of the hype and the hoopla, and as you all know, show watcher here, everyone's saying print shop. Oh my God, print shop's the best thing. You know, like I felt like I was going to be let down by this episode because it was just so built up from everybody's comments. But it lived up to it.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. And so did you. So if you had to rate this episode, being, of course, the non-book reader that you are, on a scale of 1 to 5 kilts.
Yep.
What do you got?
I got 4.8 kilts.
Nice.
I really, really, really enjoyed this episode a lot. Now, I know that falls below a couple of ratings that I've given so far for this season.
Okay, yes.
I know.
But like barely.
I've even given a five. However, I think I have a couple of good reasons why it's not 4.8. We'll get into them. But I really enjoyed this episode specifically because it was character. Thank you so much for allowing me to spend the time with Jamie and Claire that we deserved. We needed. Mm-hmm. All is right in the world again. Let's go forward now. You, my darling, what do you got? What's your kilt rating? And let me guess. 3.7.
Oh, you know, if I were to give it that, we'd be getting a little bit of hate mail because I gave this episode a 5.
No, get out of here. Stop it.
I know. It's really hard to believe that the optimist of the two of us, the book reader of the two of us, the person who loves Voyager, gave this a 5.
Hard to believe that one. You got me. I'm not gonna lie. What? 5.
5 kilts.
What was the? Well, you know what? Let's just do this. Yeah. What was your GBG?
GBGs. Yeah. Let's do this. My good, bad, and great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my good was all of the tenderness, the anxiousness, the like, where do I? It's just the awkwardness. I guess that's the right word. Awkward.
Sure.
Just being awkward, being tentative, the butterflies that you could just visibly see going on between the two of them. I loved that. I mean, yes, the sex was amazing, and so many other things were amazing. The sets, in particular, amazing.
Yes.
But the acting and how they were able to portray these tender moments of, hey, are you into this? I'm into this. Ooh, I haven't felt that for a while. How do I kiss? Oh, I remember how to kiss. Here we go. You know, just all of that I loved. My bad was there were a couple things that were like meh for me in this episode, particularly Sam's clip-on bangs, which I felt like, have you seen those at Ulta? Where you can like have clip-on bangs. It might show up in your Facebook feed.
Ulta.
Literally, they have like clip-on bangs. And I felt like Sam had clip-on bangs for a little bit. And I was like, man, that looks not good. But my actual bad was this really weird time jump that I didn't notice until my second viewing of the episode. So remember when Jamie's like, you know, in his little bare feet, hanging up at the fireplace, and then ding, and he turns into Cinderella. Oh, I've got to go. You know, like, will you come with me? I was supposed to be somewhere for 1. So say it takes him a half hour to get to wherever he needs to get to. Yep. Gets there by like, what, 1:30?
Sure, why not?
They hang out, they see Mr. Willoughby, they stop the elbow licking, and maybe they grab lunch. What did they do for so long? Because when they go to the brothel, it's night-night time.
Oh, yeah.
It's night-night time. And I don't know about you, but Skyland doesn't have night-night time.
Well, maybe
at 3.
Implicit in that is that maybe they've just gone about town and they've...
Why?
Why not? They're there enjoying each other's company.
They need to enjoy each other's company in a very different way. So I just didn't like that awkward time thing where suddenly it was nighttime. I'm like, what did you do? Sightsee?
Mm-hmm.
Did you literally go sightsee around Edinburgh because you misplaced 6 hours of time you could have been cuddling?
Maybe she's never been. Maybe she wanted to go sightseeing.
Are you freaking kidding me? Do you not know where this show started in season 1?
Whatevs. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
She didn't start there in 1760, whatever it is.
I'm just saying. Awkward time jump. That was my bad.
I would
agree.
And
my great for the episode was all of the throwback references, whether they meant them or not, but they totally meant them to the wedding.
Yes.
It was literally like, here's the wedding,
yes,
but 20 years older, but they're still just as sexy.
Yeah, it was a great mirroring of the wedding. And I think that obviously was very intentional.
Exactly. So that was my great, was how it was like revisiting just the wedding and also just revisiting. I mean, it was homecoming weekend for me this weekend. I went to URI and I got to go see my sorority sisters. It's been 15 years since we founded our sorority. I got to see a lot of people who I hadn't seen in even more than 15 years. And when I watched this episode and I thought about how here I am with some friends who like I was super close with, but I just haven't seen because it's been so much time. And then just to imagine what that must be like with someone who you thought was dead and it's been 20 years and who you were that in love with. So there were extra little feels for me about, you know, being back in your old stomping grounds and yet kind of having these mirrored things. So the mirror of the wedding was what did it for me. What is your GBG?
My good was the cold open. I loved the cold open. This is something that I don't think we have seen quite yet from Outlander, meaning it goes, you know, straight from the preview right into the episode. And then it goes to the credits. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen that. I don't think we've seen that a lot, if ever. And which is nice. It was great to see. And the reason why I love it is because it's different. Number one, and number two, you get to know not all, but the main relevant information about Jamie in this brief 5 minute, whatever it is, intro that you need to know about his life outside of Claire.
Yeah.
And it's all done visually. It's done with some dialogue. But you get a chance to know that Jamie is a respected person in the community. Mm-hmm. He has his own business. He's proud of his business. He polishes off the sign that says A. Malcolm Printer.
Kendra says we had a cold opening for the reckoning.
Oh, we did. Okay.
There you go.
Thank you, Kendra.
Thanks, Kendra.
Thank you. He polishes off the sign that says A. Malcolm Printer. He walks among town and he knows people. He's waving at people.
Yeah.
People know him. And he's dressed rather nicely.
Yes, he is.
You know, I really liked his costume for this episode.
Can we dress up as that for Halloween in a week?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Wait, for reals?
Yeah, for reals, if you want. I'm totally down with that. Just as long as I get to wear the Jamie costume and not the Claire costume.
That would actually be hysterical.
Can we play Batman while making the costumes? That's the real question.
Can Donna come down and make us these costumes in one night? That is the question. What's your bad?
Well, a couple of other things about this, too. I really liked how you got all that information and meeting the guys that were with him at Ardsmuir. They were calling him McDoo, and you get a chance to know Geordi with his goiter, and just the whole thing just rocked. And then you see the opposing view of what happened for Claire
mm-hmm.
with Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
It was a remarkable way to start this episode.
I agree.
It was fantastic. All right, my bad. I got a tie.
Uh-oh.
I got a tie. First, the ending. The ending, in my opinion, was just awful. Just awful. And yeah. Not because somebody's in the room and Claire is on the defensive now. Somebody is looking at Jamie's stuff. That's okay with me.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, I'm not in love with it, but I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Because it's pushing you. It's a cliffhanger. And it's an obvious, it's like one of those things that's punching you in the face.
You know, stay tuned till next week.
Yeah, I'm
will Claire survive?
I'm not about that life. But the life I'm really not about is that we're getting more rape.
Right?
Rape. It's
Why?
So rapey.
Why? Why couldn't he just say, I'll slit your throat, or I'll lick your elbow, or
anything other than
I will
what
wash
he said.
Out your hair so your grays show in 6 to 8 washes.
Or better yet, if he just grabbed her by the mouth and you didn't see him coming, or maybe if Claire was walking by and you just saw the out of focus guy in the background, you'd be like, oh my God. And then but it's just so contrived. It's so like, wait till next week, guys. Ugh. You know,
but it wasn't.
But it's just the
rape. It's
the
just
most
used.
Egregious part. Yeah, the most egregious part is the rape thing. It's like so rapey, and we're again. I don't know if this is a problem with the source material or if this is a problem with the show.
It's Diana. Diana put.
Okay, so much rape. I'm tired of it as a plot device.
Correct.
I'm tired of the show using it.
Correct.
And I understand that it may be part of what Diana is writing, and maybe that she likes to use that as a plot device herself. That, however, in my opinion, is not an excuse for the show writers.
Like, they changed so many other things.
You can change whatever the hell you want.
They changed a big deal thing.
Okay.
And a little deal gross thing. But, like, they changed things, so why not change this?
So, if you're going to have that ending, okay, it's contrived. I'm not about that life, but I'm really not about the rape life. I'm really,
there you go.
It's getting old. And the other one that I have, the tie, they yada yada yada'd over the best pot.
Wait, what?
They yada yada yada'd over the best pot.
I don't even know what that means.
It's from Seinfeld, you know, yada yada yada.
Okay.
How do you yada 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 over the conversation they have at dinner?
Oh my God. Okay. So you mean the voiceover while they're eating?
Yes.
And she's like, so we ate. Nom, nom, nom. And we chatted. Show them chatting. Show them chatting. Show them becoming more comfortable. And we became more comfortable. No flipping way.
Oh my God.
Why did we need that voiceover?
Don't tell me. Show me. Show me how they're reminiscing about their life. Show me how they're filling in the blanks for each other. Instead of spending so much time doing other stuff, which I loved. I really did.
Yeah.
But take that time to allot it to the interactions. As you see Claire becoming more comfortable with mm-hmm. Jamie, and Jamie becoming more comfortable with Claire, to the point they've overcome with their feelings mm-hmm. that they make love.
Mm-hmm.
Show me that process.
They did actually show you that.
No, they didn't. They just told me about the process.
I thought they showed and told.
Well, they showed me the process.
Okay.
But they didn't. But in terms of getting to know the characters and getting to know where they were, how they're interacting with each other, and the stories that they're telling each other, what are we doing?
Right.
Don't tell me. Show me.
I mean, a clarification. Ba-dum-bum-ting. no rape. In the book, I just feel like rape was thrown out all the time, so I apologize. I probably need to have reread
well,
that chapter.
Well, I mean, listen, either way,
stop using that card. Yeah. Stop throwing
and here's an even worse thing. If it's not in the book, right? If it's not in the book, then I'm even more mad. Like, I'm even that much more upset because what are we doing?
That's an even bigger bad.
Yeah, it is. Okay, it's even a double bad. Okay, but the great.
You're great. I'm so excited to hear this. Tell me what your grade is.
The grade is similar to yours, my love, which is I'm so happy that they're back and this episode did take its time. It did let it breathe of them getting to know each other. It was awkward. It was like, it was just that, again, it's kind of like when you and your spouse have an argument and the argument's over and it's kind of settled, but it's like that next morning where you're kind of like,
are we cool? Are we not cool?
Can I kiss you?
Are we going to joke?
Are we going to be okay with
this?
Am
I going to wait for you to send me an email to sorry, I was an idiot?
Like, are we going to do all
three
of
hours
these
later?
Things? Or can we just be normal? Listen, I am very guilty of what Mary just said. Very, very guilty. And I like it because it's so complex. And it is so involved for these characters. It's involved for you as the viewer. You're just as awkward watching them together as they are being there. And I'm glad that they let that they let it breathe. But more specifically, the tension between the two, especially, and this is the real great, when Jamie demands to know why Claire is back. Claire, why are you here? Right? Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of you being here? Are you here to just tell me about my daughter? Are you here to be with me? And it's almost, it's not almost. It is jolting to Claire because, oh my God, maybe he doesn't want me here.
Right? Like, you took a chance, girlfriend.
Right.
You took a big chance.
Big, big, huge honking chance on this one. And
you didn't get traveler's insurance
nothing,
at all.
I don't think the Stones allow that.
No. Like, what if I go back and Jamie's, you know, shacked up with somebody else and doesn't really want me anymore?
So I feel like...
do I get a refund?
Can I get a credit, maybe?
Can you put my rain jackets back together?
Upgrade me to first class for next trip?
Maybe.
I don't know. You know, she's gone so long without him, and and just seeing the two and having it just be that unclear as to what they're there for, why they're there, and having Claire be in this moment of like, maybe this was not the right choice. Just having those two be back and having it not be perfect was fantastic. And seeing their relationship grow throughout the whole episode was my great. Let's see what the listener said. What do you think? Gail Murray Barker on Facebook says, I give this episode 3.5 kilts. 3.5. She said, I was disappointed in the changes from the book story. My great, however, was Jamie and Kat's sex scenes. My good was young Ian scene in the bed.
Let's call it Jamie and Claire. I'm getting a little mixed up.
You know.
I know. Are you Ron Burgundy?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
There you go.
There you go. That's the there you go. the bad was the ending. Okay, I figured it out that they changed who killed the tax man. Not even sure if that was what character was going by, but only did so from the preview. Also missed Jamie going to pieces after Brianna's baby pictures. That was an important emotional reckoning moment for them. Also missed the slapstick of everyone knocking on the bedroom door the next day. I guess I shot myself in the foot listening to the Audible version beforehand. Hashtag my bad.
I'm just going to say, you don't know what she's talking about.
No, I don't.
That's okay.
I don't.
Rachel Barnett says, I just recently got into your podcast and I've been catching up, enjoying it during my commute every day. First episode review.
Oh, hold on. There you go.
Rachel gives it 4 kilts. I have been loving the season so far, especially the connected theme in both periods of character development and character development. But I think the buildup and anticipation of the reunion was more fun than the actual reunion. The good was Claire sharing Bree with Jamie. We've so desperately wanted him to know her, and he spent so many years wondering what happened and sharing with very few people about his lost children. I loved the relief and joy on his face, and even the horror at the bikini picture. Rachel's bad is the awkwardly written and played moment between Jamie and Fergus in the street discussing some not so subtle foreshadowing that they need to talk about to get Ned Gowan. It's not necessary, and giving away hints at things to come. Now, Rachel is a book reader, and she was upset for show watchers. She said, let there be surprises. They're spoiling things that we don't need to know. And then Rachel's great is the headbutt when they're tumbling into bed. So often, movies and TV love scenes are unrealistic and way too perfect. I was tense and uncomfortable with Jamie and Claire, so the moment that they just let the awkwardness show was such a relief. They laughed and relaxed, as did we, the audience. Overall, not my favorite of the season, but I'm excited for things yet to come.
And Kari Hansen Rope says, Jamie and Claire together again. Kilt rating was 4.8. The good was seeing the print shop scene from Jamie's point of view. Also, Jamie's glasses. He rocked those things.
Yes, he did. Oh my gosh. Zenny all the way.
The bad was I wanted Jamie to go utterly and thoroughly to pieces when he saw Bree's pictures. And then for him to get up and tell Claire about Willie almost immediately afterwards seemed a little odd.
So just so you know, Blake and show watchers, that is not even close to what happens in the books.
Okay. All right.
About Willie. So there was like a whole other thing that was going to happen with Willie. Here you go. Guess what? I have a son. So, and it also, like, Jamie finding out about Brie and seeing these pictures was a lot more monumental in the books.
Right.
So.
Okay.
You're going to probably hear that. The reason I'm telling you this is because you're probably going to hear this from a lot of people that this was their biggest disappointment.
Okay.
Was how Willie was handled and how quickly he was like, oh, cool. That's cool about Bree. Let me show you my son.
Well, all right. We'll get into that. And so let's see. Get up and tell. It almost seemed a little odd. I understand they probably had to put it there in the interest of time, but it kind of threw me out of the moment. And the great, their awkwardness with each other, the moves taken from the wedding episode, their amazing emotion at being together again. They couldn't take their tear-filled eyes off of each other. I admit to never really being emotionally affected by a sex scene, but this one just had me tearing up a bit. Their joy at being together again was palpable. Their flirtatious pillow talk, it was just perfect. I'm so glad Matt Roberts chose to keep so many of the lines from the book of the reunion scene. This season just continues to build on itself. Fantastic.
Woo woo! Let's go into the recap.
All right, this episode was entitled A Malcolm.
There you go.
And it was written by Matthew B. Roberts.
Who we got to see on such a cool little title card when actually Jamie like
pulls the print up.
The print up and it said Matthew B. Roberts. And then it got to say directed by
Norma Bailey. And I really loved this little bit that they had here where they had the print. And
that was awesome.
That was so cool, yes. Man. Like, it was a really fun and inventive way to get the title cards up again. You know, it almost reminded me of The Leftovers a little bit this past season. Do you remember when on the title cards it was all it was all Wu-Tang names?
Yes.
Because of the Wu-Tang song
in the
episode. I really just a cool inventive way to get the episode up. Again, directed by Norma Bailey. She has directed a lot of stuff, a lot of unknown stuff, and a lot of kind of junk stuff.
Okay.
But the highlights, I guess, for her career so far have been Rain, that show, Heartland, Beauty and the Beast, that awful CW version.
No. That one. I watched that too. I'm not going to lie.
And she's got one more Outlander episode. It's the next one.
Okay.
And this one, the director of photography, special friend of the show, Steve McNutt.
Yes!
go back and listen to his interview, episode 95. I will continue to plug this episode for as long as I can, because I was really happy with that interview. We did interview Steve McNutt. Please go listen to it, episode 95. And you could tell
you
that Steve...
You did interview him? Really?
We did. Really? Imagine that. I really loved the lighting in this episode. All of it was stunning. And you can tell it was Steve McNutt. You could tell because he was so happy, as he said in the interview, to use the firelight to bring up everybody's faces and juxtapose that against the darker images.
The candles and just the darkness of the print shop.
Oh, my goodness. The print shop alone... What is worthy of all the awards.
Which was repurposed from The Apothecary.
Even cooler. And you know what was funny? I did.
Okay.
I guessed it when I watched the episode because I was like, wow, that feels similar to The Apothecary. It just felt that way. And I wasn't totally sure until they actually confirmed it later on at the end of the episode when Matt Roberts and Tony Graffia are talking with Ron Moore saying that they repurposed it, which was really cool. So those are the details for this episode, the deets, as the young kids call it these days.
All about them deets.
About them deets. My darling,
yeah.
How are we going to attack this episode today?
How do you want to attack it?
You know, I think we should probably just talk about what everybody wants to talk about, which is the reunion.
Yeah.
I mean, all the other stuff is important.
Is it really?
Is it though?
Because my opinion is no, it's not. It took so flipping long to get the reunion that I wanted.
Well, tell me about the reunion that you wanted.
I'm actually joking. I actually, my favorite was just being in the print shop. It wasn't the brothel. He spilt his ale in his pants and he thought he peed himself.
I thought I pissed myself. Oh, my God. Again, what an amazing job by Norma Bailey. This whole season has done this to aplomb, which is... take the tension, ratchet it up to the point where it's totally like, oh my God, breaking point, and then have something funny happen or have something whatever happen just to take it back down to ratchet it back up again. You saw that happen with trying to piss himself. You saw that happen
just
with
fainting.
With Jordy, with all the when they're bringing the food in
from the brothel, hitting
the heads,
yep.
Breaking the nose, and he's like, oh, no, you'd be bleeding, and you'd have this real thing, right? You'd be bleeding like a pig. You know, like,
yes.
Oh, my God. Just great.
Good old Jamie. So what I also loved about that moment with him getting himself all wet is he had to take off his pants.
I'm going to leave that
one
alone.
And he was awkward. And, Claire says, we are married.
Right. And you could see it hit his brain. It's like, we are.
But like, that was so brave of her. And it's so Claire. Claire was like on point Claire. You could tell that she had all that time to prep on the flight. She had all this time to really prepare herself. And she was just nervous, but still like collected and like, no, we're married. Like, I'm not going to let you take off your pants in a different room. I've been wanting you for 20 years. We're married. I'm here to remind you. But I loved that because that I feel like really helped start to solidify that she was there, you know, for a purpose, because he does have those fears and he does have those doubts. But for her to be like, we're married.
Mm-hmm.
We are married.
Sure.
Really, really helped. So I liked that part.
I thought that the best part, and you know, I think I'm gonna go against the grain, surprise, surprise, then from a lot of people here, when I say I really loved the moment when she shows the pictures of Brianna to Jamie, and then he comes out with the fact that he has a son. When I saw Jamie talk about The first thing I thought of when she brought up the pictures of Brianna was, like, you even heard me. I was like, oh my God, she did bring pictures.
I know, you were so excited.
I was wicked because that's what I wanted I wanted Brianna to hand her the picture.
Uh-huh.
But here it is, like, oh my God, you know? So, okay. But the only thing I could think of as he's looking at the pictures is he has his own kid now, too. He has his own son running around.
He has a child who is currently in the same time frame as him.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Yeah. Like he has a son running around outside of his life.
That he's gotten to know. Yeah. Out of his three children that he has, he actually knows one of them.
My brain is going a million miles a minute right now.
So with
that said, I think it's only natural for him to bring up Willie. I think it's important for him to bring up Willie because he does have this outside life from Claire. He moved on. I mean, he didn't move on like, oh, screw Claire. But he lived his life. And Willie is a representation of that. And Claire ought to know.
Yes.
And I'm fine with her because it's a natural segue.
But
here's
my
daughter.
I just kind of wish he could have given a little bit more backstory. Like, no, this woman blackmailed me.
Right. I mean,
but that's Jamie's conscience really has told him that, you know, he's part of the reason that she died. Like, Jamie is just such a good heart that because she died, because he thinks so much of it is his fault, because he loves Willie and he just hates putting out ill will, he's not going to be like, Claire, here's the deal.
This rich, snobby
brat made me have sex with her because she was blackmailing me, but she got pregnant, then she died, karma's a bitch, and I got Willie.
Yay!
No, he doesn't think like that.
No,
Jamie is not a Slytherin.
I kind of wanted Claire to be like, whoa, 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 time out, back up a second here. Rewind.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're responsible for her death? Like, did you...
But I don't understand.
Did
Jamie.
You kill her? Like,
because you do
kill
know.
Her, or yeah. did you? You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah. That's interesting.
You know, she's just kind of like, oh, okay, you're responsible for her death. That's cool. Hey, he's Brianna. Like, you know, like I feel like that
she was so shocked. She was so shocked. Like, oh my god, yes, he did have some sex with someone else within 20 years. Oh, he has another kid, a kid who's here who he's gotten to know. He doesn't know him right now, but he's known him. Like, in her mind, it went to jealous girlfriend face.
Yes, and that was the beautiful thing about what Katrina did.
Jealous wife face.
She, in a matter of
seconds,
went from hopeful, awkward, and lovey-dovey to jealous and a little upset and unsure. And this whole range of emotions just happened. Boom, 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 boom. It reminded me of Frank and that whole thing when he finds out that Brianna's not his. And I will admit, again, you know, Frank is my binky. So I really loved what Tobias did. So I'm always going to put that at the top. But Katrina really, really brought it. And both she and mm-hmm. Sam brought it in this first part of the episode when she shows up and they don't know how to interact with each other.
I loved it.
I mean, they do. But they don't.
No, it's just exactly. Like,
I am really familiar with you, and like Sam asking permission.
Oh my god,
Jamie asking permission to. I'd like to kiss you now. Would that be okay? And you know, and everybody
do you like that sigh.
I know everybody is sighing just like you, and then we have Jordy showing up, being like, "That's it, I quit." Oh my god, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant television. It was all brilliant television.
Who else did you think was there? Who else is having this orgy?
I was just going to say, maybe he should redefine orgy. Yeah.
That goiter's getting to his brain. Bless his heart.
And the whole bit with Sam and the glasses. And
oh my God. Dashing as ever.
He is dashing.
Well, that's what Claire says.
Oh, I know. And I'm reiterating. He is dashing.
The glasses totally made him look old.
They did.
In a good way. In a good way.
Yes, I totally agree.
I actually think he looks old, even without the glasses. I think they did a phenomenal job. I think Sam's work with his facial expressions, how he's carrying himself. Katrina Balf, girlfriend. You know Claire would have used every single anti-aging cream known to man. Like,
she would
have
invented.
Why I'm letting her get away with it, because yes. Her skin was so glowy. I also thought she must have been sweating from wearing 5 raincoats and in all of that heat and the fire. Because in those scenes, I was like, girl, she is shiny. She is shiny. She must be so hot. Raincoats don't let you breathe.
Yes. No, there's zero breathing with
None.
Raincoats.
But she looks phenomenal. And we just trust that she's aged. But Sam, Sam's face, the makeup that they've used on him to like kind of grunge him up a little bit in a more mature way, and then the glasses.
The glasses makeup.
Oh, my God.
I could do without the makeup. I could even do without the hair.
It's not even the glasses. It's his expression. It's Sam's way of acting, how he puts them on, and he scrunches his little face a little bit. Like
yes, yes. That little movement with his mouth. Like
yes.
It's like an old guy movement.
And how he like holds things. Like, it is Sam. It is Sam. He is freaking killing it. Yes. I know we were just gushing about Kat, but Sam is killing it acting old.
Right.
When he's old, he's going to be like, I've already done this. this feels so familiar.
And the one thing I think that this episode really brings about is something that we've actually talked about a lot in this season, which is the difference between love and intimacy. Mm-hmm. There is a canyon between the two, and it's up to the people that are in the middle of a relationship to make up that canyon. And you can have love and no intimacy. Mm-hmm. You can have intimacy and no love. But when you have both, that's when you know it's magic. And you can see, as it did mirror the way that it happened in the wedding, you see the intimacy and the love coming with each successive time. And, you know, you told me that you expected more sex. And
I expected more sex sooner.
I'm glad. I see. I am so glad that they put it off. They put it off and they put it off and they
I'm
ratcheted
like
it.
My thumbs. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, let's go.
There's a perfectly fine bed right there in the print shop. I know you're not. I'm just saying. I was really excited for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was happy that they put it off the way that they did.
I appreciate it. I don't need it to be an orgy. Okay. Jordy doesn't need to come after me. I gave this episode a 5. I'm happy with it, aside from...
In the end, you saw them develop their love and their intimacy. And the thing that I think Outlander does really well, and I know I've said this before, but I'm gonna continue to say it. I will die on this hill to my dying day. Outlander doesn't just throw sex in for sex's sake. Mm-hmm. For the most part, there is always an emotional or story related part to the sex, and that's the show. In terms of the book, what I've read so far for the first book, it seems to come up a little bit too much for my taste.
Sex?
Yeah. And not because I'm a prude, but because it's like, okay, here's another sex scene. Like, it just, whoa, calm down. It's like almost like softcore porn. That's what it feels like a little bit.
You're such a prude.
I'm not a prude! But would I have rather spent a little bit more time with the conversation that Jamie and Claire are supposed to have about getting to know each other again and filling in all the blanks? Yeah, I would. I would like to spend a little bit more time doing that. Maybe we could reallocate some of the sex scenes in the five minutes and 10 seconds worth of them derobing.
I needed that.
See, I thought it was great. It
the
was
buttons,
great.
Button. I'm like, come on, where's that zipper? I know it's in there somewhere. It's gonna make this a lot faster.
Ultimately, I really do think the episode was great at lengthening what we wanted, but did we really need 5 minutes and 10 seconds worth of derobing? I don't know. I mean, it was great to see how awkward they were with each other, and the little laughs and the little movements that they have, and it was fun to watch, especially when they finally get naked. And Claire's like covering herself up, like, oh my God.
Because she's cold, because she's been sweating so much.
It was a lot of clothing. It was a lot of clothing. And him not knowing what the zipper was cute or whatever. I agree. But do you think, my love, that it was okay? It would be okay if we sacrificed a little derobing time for a little bit more story time between the two.
I think this episode is a 5. So I'm very happy with it.
Oh, okay. All right. I understand. I get it. I get it. What did you think about all the times that their intimacy was being ratcheted up only to have it taken back down again by interruptions, like when they were bringing the food in, or when Jody was there, or the slamming of the faces? You know, like, did you think
I was down with that?
Yeah,
you were I was down with it? Because it did broke it up for me. I was laughing. I went through the roller coaster that I was supposed to go through mm-hmm. with this episode.
Right.
I was holding my breath. Oh my goodness. Oh, that little touching, the quivering. I was. Oh, and now I'm going to laugh. Okay, good. And it was a constant roller coaster for me. So watching it now multiple times, I mean, there's little spots where I'm like, really, did you have to come in? I guess you had to. Like, it's because it's supposed to put you on that roller coaster. Did you not like all the interruptions?
No, I loved them.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
I absolutely adored them. And that's why I'm asking you. Because,
yeah, I was down.
Because I thought it was the perfect antidote to, I don't want to say taking itself too seriously. I don't think that's the right term, but I think it's the perfect antidote to the seriousness of this episode, which is why I think this episode works so well on so many different levels. Meaning, we finally had levity. We finally had humor injected into Outlander. We've spent so long with the dire nature of what has been going on between Preston Pans and Dragonfly and Amber, going back through the stones, Claire and Frank, Frank dying, the problems between Bree and Claire, Sandy Candy, prison, the Battle of Culloden. Like, there's been a lot of heaviness, and the show, I don't want to say lost its identity. I'm not going to go there.
No.
But I think we finally found our identity back. We're back.
We're back at for the fun part of Outlander. We're back about seeing some old friends, making some new ones, having the intimacy, having some story, having a little laughter, about ready to continue on with this journey.
And the intimacy that can only be found with time, you know, bumping into each other's faces.
Boom, boom, ting, time.
Yeah. Oh, hey now.
Got it? Yeah.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
It can only be found in time, and the jokes and the little pieces of laughter and the hand touching and all of that. And which is why I'm a little disappointed that we didn't get to have that conversation between the two.
What?
Of filling in the blanks and getting and reminiscing.
You're going to get plenty of that, honey. You're going to get plenty of that. You know who I liked seeing, though?
Who?
Fergus.
Oh, my goodness.
Can we talk?
Yes, we can talk about Fergus.
Adult Fergus. Caesar Tomboy. You know, he nailed Roman. He nailed Roman's portrayal of Fergus.
Definitely.
Like, you can tell that he studied the little quirks, the way that he would move, what he would do with his eyes, how he would hug Claire, and then said, I can do that. I can do that. It reminded me of in Harry Potter, how when the kids took the Polyjuice potion and had to break into Gringotts' brink, and how the actors, what they did is the kids did it, and then the older actors watched how the kids did it, and then they copied it because they wanted to make sure they did all their mannerisms.
Right.
And I'm like, that's what you do. You mimic these people when you're supposed to be the same person. I think he nailed it. I believe it's the same character. What do you
totally,
think?
Totally agree. I thought the kid was great. I loved the evolution of his accent, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's not just French, and it's not just Scottish. It's kind of it's an amalgam of both, and it plays off very well. I will say that the conversation that he does have with Jamie is a little on the nose. It's like, what are we gonna do? What about blah blah blah? And they say it without saying it, and it's obvious in my eyes, at least, that Jamie has a problem and has someone back home that he has to deal with. And again, my outlandish theory of the week is it's leg hair. I'm just saying that. I'm just throwing it out there. But it is a little on the nose for my taste, because it's kind of like we're We're holding your hand here. We're not going to just let this happen.
Holding his hand.
Oh, that was... Oh.
Oh.
Too soon?
Oh. Claire holding it. And she was like, oh my God.
What happened?
Oh my God,
you?
This is awkward too. What do I do? Do I acknowledge it? I've never met someone with a wooden hand. Do I
shake it?
I'm already there.
Do I touch it?
What happens?
You know, I'm just going to go all in. I'm going to go all in.
Why did you steal this from Jamie Lannister? What is going on?
That's good. That was good. Mr. Willoughby.
It's the other hand, but yeah.
Whatevs. Mr. Willoughby. This guy, you know, it's funny because, you know, you get introduced to him as a character who's licking the lady's elbow. Mm-hmm. But then 2.5 minutes later, he's having this really cool, deep conversation with Claire.
You know, people have their fetishes, man.
And it's kind of a weird character arc for this guy.
Yep.
But I like how I said I got a good feeling from Dr. Joe.
Yes.
I got a good feeling from Mr. Willoughby.
Okay, and how do you feel about his elbow licking?
I think he's a weird dude. And I think he may or may not enjoy an adult beverage here and there a little too much.
There you go.
But I feel like he's got Jamie's back. Especially considering the conversation that he has with Claire about how Jamie rescued him off the boat. It's someone that I feel like I know I can trust. And it also speaks to Jamie's character a little bit because, between Fergus and the two jabronis from Ardsmere and now Mr. Willoughby, he's kind of like taking all these poor souls and saving them a little bit and bringing them on to come with him. He is a leader of men. You can tell that people follow him and people like him. People admire him. He has gone through life and everybody has just kind of either wanted him to be their leader, like in terms of the Mackenzie clan, they wanted him to be the Laird, mm-hmm. or at least, Colum did. In the army, he is Red Jamie. In the prison, he's McDo, you know, and now here he is becoming a print shop. By the way, the print making itself, I love seeing Sam do that process. Like the real process taking the ink, putting the ink down.
And knowing that he actually learned how to do that.
Right. They had to send him to printmaking school.
Yeah.
You know, like I thought that was a really, and I love it because printmaking, the way that he was doing it, mm-hmm. it's a very slow and intentional process.
I mean, even just seeing the papers drying throughout the print shop to know mm-hmm. that each one of those pieces had to be printed that way, had to have the ink, had to be pressed, mm-hmm. and then it has to carefully dry, and he's walking around checking on it.
Mm-hmm. It was great. And you can tell that he does take pride in it. It is something that he has built his life around, even though he does have this whole other part of his life that he was reluctant to tell Claire, by the way. He didn't want to give all of the information that he had to Claire about his business. She kind of had to figure it out for himself. And by the way, I do like the fact that they made Sam's physique part of the story. Like, you clearly have been doing other things than just printmaking because you're ripped, bro.
Right?
I think he has bigger boobs than Katrina.
It's not boobs.
You know what I mean.
But pecs.
Pecs, whatevs. The man's they're big and they're legit, which means he's in really good shape. But either way, Jamie is a leader of men, and I love seeing what was alluded to for so long. I love seeing what, people in the army were telling us about. It's just great finally to be able to see him become a man that is doing what he is good at and taking the time to do it, and it's methodical, and he gets it, and I like that he's a respected man in his own community. It's good to see Jamie, and it's good
it
to see.
It is good to
it's
see
good
Jamie.
To have the show's identity back. It's good to have them be back in the time that they're supposed to be in, that the show is supposed to be in, because clearly the show is most comfortable in this time. That's just the way that it is.
Well, times are changing, man.
One thing I will say is, well, I'll get into this in my Lynch theory of the week. Another thing I do want to say is, I was kind of let down by the score.
Oh my God, I was just going to say the exact opposite.
Okay, tell me why you're going to say the opposite. Tell me why. Why were you going to say the opposite?
Oh, because it was like coming home. It was like homecoming music.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, here you are, guys, with some of your favorite little notes and medleys and things that are familiar to you. And maybe you haven't heard it in a while, unless you listen to the Outlander Cast podcast, where they play a lot of this music over and over again. But for those of you who don't, or maybe don't listen to the score,
mm-hmm.
you might have sat here and be like, this is familiar. And I loved that that's how the music was. The music, to me, was meant to be so familiar, was meant to either be exactly the same songs from before, or take the melodies and then alter them a little bit to still reminisce. I didn't want new stuff.
Well, let me say this. I agree with you that the score was meant to be familiar. But my problem with it wasn't that it was familiar. It was exact. It was almost ripped from the previous seasons.
Not all of it, though.
I think most of it was.
Nope.
I think most of it was. And because of that, I was like, okay, I know this song. I've heard this song. It's okay to play similar themes. You know me. I love themes. I love Lost. I mean, come on now. Seriously. I mean, can we talk about my love of the Lost soundtrack? It's all very similar themes. Same thing with Battlestar Galactica. But I don't like when they're ripped. I like when they have a theme and they give me variations of that theme.
No, I completely disagree. I loved that the first song. Which one is it? Is that the Coming Through the Rye?
Yes.
I loved that that was right away.
I loved it too.
And it was the exact same one. And I was like, all right, We're back. We're back, and we are back in time, and this is where we are, and we are in Scotland. And I loved that they just took the themes and they changed them a little bit, because things are changing, Blake. Times are changing, places are changing, and mm-hmm. you may not hear some of this music again. So soak it up and stop your complaining about it.
Stop my whining, will you?
Right? Right?
It was good. Like I said, it was very good. I just wanted variations on the original and of the original themes. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about, my darling, before we get into the rest of this episode, or before we have to end up closing this bad boy out?
How'd you like that sex?
It was good. It was very good.
What did you think about the first moments?
It was you know, do it now and don't be gentle.
Like, way to go, Claire.
You know, that was Claire, you know, give me the business, you know, mm-hmm. like that's what that is. Mm-hmm. And again, like how it mirrored the wedding, the sex evolved. It went from this carnal kind of mm-hmm. desire, like, oh my God, it's finally here. You could see it in Claire's face. It's like, this is what I loved watching Katrina's face in that part, because you could see the emotions coming out of her, like, this is what I've been missing. Not necessarily Jamie, although it is Jamie. But it's more, again, that bridge between love and intimacy. It's knowing, oh my God, this is what I've been missing. This intimacy, the intimate portion of this relationship. I've missed this with Frank.
Yeah.
For 20 years.
Yeah.
What have I been doing with my life?
Damn, it feels good. To be, what was that? Damn, I feel like a woman. Yeah. Man, not man. Damn. What am I thinking?
Man, I feel like a woman. Man,
is that what I'm thinking?
Yes, you're thinking.
I don't even know.
What is that, Shania Twain? I don't know. I forget. Anyway, it was good.
Make me feel like a I'm thinking natural woman. That's okay, what I'm thinking. I'm like, I'm getting all these songs. I'm adding in cuss words. I don't even know. You know what how did you feel about seeing his scars and his new leg scar?
Oh, great, great. And I kind of, I go back and forth on this. Do I want Jamie to acknowledge the fact that he got that scar from Black Jack Randall? Mm. I kind of want that. I kind of do, because it then takes Claire back to Frank and the Randalls and the whole thing, and it ties up the emotional catharsis that we got from seeing Black Jack Randall die. It's an emotional catharsis between the two, mm-hmm. because they spent so long during their life together fighting this guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I kind of wanted him to kind of bring
like,
shit
like a, Black Jack this to me, but then I killed him.
Yeah, like I kind of wanted, it's like a trophy. I wanted him to be like, yo, bro, check this out.
You know who you're not going to bump into?
Yeah.
Since you always do while you're here.
I know. I kind of wanted him to say that, like, you know, this is what happened to me. And I liked seeing the scar below his peck, you know, that Black Jack Randall did to him. He burned him with the whole thing. And I thought that was great. And then the back scars, for me, they actually seemed a little bit more pronounced in this episode. I don't know if they have a different person doing the molding for the scars or whatever, but it just felt like to me it was just the lighting, perhaps. Maybe if the prosthetic was lit so well that now you could finally see every little nook and cranny. But when Claire touched his back, it felt like, wow, those are effing scars, bro. Like, I felt like they were a little bit more subtle in
scars
episodes
really
prior.
Change. I think scars really change not only over time, mm-hmm. but he's got older skin. Granted, he is ripped as ripped can be.
Yes.
The Sam that we have now is not the Sam that we had in the very beginning. Like,
sure.
he's gotten bigger thanks to my peak challenge and all of his luscious workouts. But no, just, I mean, you think about how tattoos and just how skin in general changes as you age. Mm-hmm. And he obviously wasn't using Claire's face skin treatments on his back over these years. So right. I was glad that it looked different. I was glad to see these scars. I agree. It would have been an interesting conversation. I don't know how they would have had that conversation. Like,
that
hey, you want to know who gave me this scar? You'll never guess. 20 questions.
Was it a man?
Yes. Do I know him personally?
Yes.
Does he have black hair?
One thing actually that came out.
I was going to keep playing.
Yeah, I know you were. But
I'm glad you changed.
I'm going to save
you. Thank
you. I'm going to save you on that one. One thing I did notice that really actually meant a lot to me, and it's not because of Frank, but because I really liked the fact that Jamie made sure that Claire did not leave Frank for going back to him. It was more like, did you leave Frank? Because it was like him checking, like, where, like, he loved you. Why would you leave him to come back? Like, it was just something that you could tell. He was trying to be honorable. Like, he was trying to, did he love you? Did he take care of you? Were you happy with him?
Well, and put the pieces together. Exactly. Like, what led you here?
Right.
You're here now.
Right.
You know, why now? You know, how'd this all happen? And just trying to really piece it together. Okay, so we talked about how we're not a big fan of the ending. How do you feel about the two jabronis who came in who smelled like seaweed and alcohol?
Love them.
Really?
Love them. I'm all about that. And
really?
Again, it shows you, again, about that cold open. It shows you more about Jamie's life than anything you could ever be told. Jamie walks in, hears these things, hears the rustling, has this little dirk in his...
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you can tell that
he's
always on the defense. He is used to things not going well.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the smell of the seaweed and the salt, which means he often spends time at a dock doing things. He clearly, and he's saying, guys, don't come in the front door. I can't have you associated with my business.
Yep.
It, again, all of these things are telling you very subtly about Jamie and Jamie's life without Claire, what he has done. And that is where this episode really rocks. As much as there are a lot of things on the nose about this episode, it's the subtlety that the episode has in itself, which is not something that Outlander has done quite a lot.
No,
Outlander is not a subtle show.
You know, especially in regards to Jamie, I think you're right. To be able for him to know those smells is really interesting that you pointed that out. And for him to hold that, you know, that knife, like, just he's always on defense. Another moment that I love, and if you guys didn't pick this out next on your next viewing, you'll see it. When he and Claire are walking out and she's like, oh, let me tell you all about the Bonnie Prince that I read in this great book that Roger gave me. A British soldier walks by.
Yep.
And Jamie tilts his hat. He tilts his three-cornered hat so that the soldier won't see him.
Wow, look
at you. You need to watch it because I was like, he is always, always nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Culloden was 20 years ago.
And he's
but
still.
Red Jamie is still Red Jamie and doesn't want to get noticed, just wants to keep his head down low, isn't trying to bring attention to himself. And literally, so if you haven't noticed it, next time you see it, it is so intentional and Sam does it so beautifully that I was like, I bet people are going to miss that.
Right.
But I love it. And what really caught my eye was when he had the knife and I'm like, he's going to be on defense almost all the time.
Sure.
The place when he was the most comfortable was the brothel.
Right. Hey, what did you think about that relationship, by the way, with the brothel maiden?
Didn't like it.
Why didn't you like it?
I didn't like that at all.
Well, I think this is like the first thing you didn't like about this episode.
No, I also didn't like the weird time jump going to the brothel.
That's true.
I guess I just don't like things at the brothel, except that brunch. Oh my God, that is like a brunch with me and my girlfriends.
Hey now.
Let's chill out, have some coffee, and talk about all the funny things that we do in bed.
And drink some wine. whoa, time out. Whoa.
Girl brunch is very different than boy brunch.
How much are you letting out here?
What do you mean?
You're talking about things that you do in bed. What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. Can't be letting out the secrets. State secrets.
I'll save you a bannock.
Oh my god.
So
you didn't like the relationship with the brothel maiden?
No, and not at all.
Why not?
No. What are you doing? Why start the show with that? What is going on? Who do you think you are? What are you doing with this character? Does this even matter?
That to me is a little sleight of hand.
What do you mean?
It's edited so that you think that Jamie is in a relationship with this woman. It's not overt, but it's again, this word, subtle. It's relatively subtle. She's talking about how it needs a woman's touch and everything, and he's looking at her, and I half expected them to kiss before he left. But once they did not kiss, I was like, okay, no, they're not together, but they have a very special relationship. So much so that she's helping him get ready. And again, it's showing you and not telling you that these two are BFFs.
Like, did they get a little tipsy and she'd be like, you're always a hot mess when you leave here. You know that. And he'd be like, I can't do it. I can't do it by myself. She was like, I'll get you ready in the morning with all this alcohol you give me. No, I didn't like it. I didn't really like it. And then I would have been fine without that. I liked seeing him get dressed, but I didn't like how I got kind of this weird, that's my man feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, I would have been fine with her giving Claire the loose, you know, the little snarkiness. Because it's like, what do you mean? You live in a flipping brothel.
Sure.
It's rude enough for you to come in here with another girl. Like, that's just inappropriate in general, but you bringing a wife?
Right.
What? And what kind of wife is this? Do you see all these boobies? Bubbies?
Bubbies everywhere.
All sorts of bubbies.
All the bubbies. By the way.
Oh my God, can you tell everyone? We almost forgot. Thank God I said bubbies. Thank God
I said bubbies.
Okay. All right. The reason why Mary and I are freaking out right now is because when Claire goes downstairs after her legs are jello and she spends all night with Jamie, she goes down and meets with some of the wenches downstairs and they mistake her as a wench and whatever, you know? Okay, great.
So,
but they introduce
the friendly one says, oh, you know, you're a little older, but you've got nice bubbies. What's your name? My name's Dorcas. And that's what she said, like Molly and
Peggy or
like two normal names and then and Dorcas.
And then so so like the whole that little bit of scene ends and I was like I said to right out, I said, wait a second. Did she just say her name was Dorcas?
And I was like, yeah, I think so. So then I rewind it 10 seconds and it goes right to, she's got nice bubbies. My name's Dorcas. And I was like, no, that's totally what she said. So then I rewound it 10 seconds again and then I added subtitles. She's got nice bubbies. My name's Dorcas.
I put the subtitles. Well, like, yep, that happened. So that's her name. Her name's Dorcas.
Bubbies and Dorcas were said, I think, 5 or 6 times in the house.
That is our new shirt. I'm putting that up to my Bubbies and Dorcas.
Who's going to wear that?
Everybody. Everybody's going to wear Bubbies and Dorcas. Oh, man. Listen, I know that Dorcas is probably a name that everybody knows, and it's probably a common name for that time or whatever. But just hearing this lady's name is Dorcas was the best thing ever. I thought that was so funny. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm sweating.
It's time for a little break. Let's let you have a little break while we have a moment to talk about our sponsor.
I'm totally sweating from this.
Bubbies and Dorcas. So we're going to take a moment to talk about today's sponsor. It is BarkBox. For a free month of BarkBox, a free extra month, you can go to BarkBox.com/OutlanderCast. You can subscribe for a 6 or 12 month plan. So what is BarkBox, Blake, and who is it good for?
BarkBox is good for dog owners or someone that you know has a dog. Essentially, it's a box, and BarkBox makes all of these homemade treats and toys for dogs. It's all size.
Especially Newfoundlands.
Especially Newfoundlands, or if you have big bubbies, I'm sure that that they'll be able to accommodate you. But either way, it's good. It's natural products that they make themselves for size appropriate dogs, and it's treats and gifts and toys that they can play with, and it comes in the mail.
Yeah,
and so it comes every month.
You know how like subscription boxes are all the big thing right now? Like you're like, yes, I want to subscribe and get like gifts and goodies in the mail every single month. But this for your dog. So
yes.
If you're a fur mama or a fur grampy, you know, if you got a fur baby somewhere in your life, or if you got a friend who has a dog who adores their dog, this is awesome. And with the holiday season coming up, you know how you feel awkward buying gifts sometimes for your friends?
Yeah.
But you're like, but if I get them this for their dog, they're going to be souped. I'm going to be the coolest friend ever. So once again, you're going to get a free extra month by going to BarkBox.com/OutlanderCast. I feel like I need to woof.
Do it.
Woof.
Wait, what was that again?
Woof. That was for the little dog. There's big dog boxes, little dog boxes, all sorts of boxes.
Because you know the people who have dogs love their dogs. Like love that, like they're like kids for dog people. And I had a dog growing up. I loved my dog, but some people are like way into their dogs, which is great.
I can't handle that yet.
And like,
one day I'll grow up.
One day we'll grow up and get a dog. Right now we have a cat, and I'm barely good at taking care of it at all. As a matter of fact, I don't think the cat has food right now.
You know what?
What's that?
If we had a bark box.
Yeah, for cats.
Oh my God. I'd be
a meow box.
Okay.
There's one person I want to call out here. Teresa Hutchinson says Dorcas was a woman's name in the Bible, I guess. And it's been used quite often, and she was healed or something. I don't know. But I I'm immature, and I thought it was very funny.
Oh my God, you're immature, except you went to like Catholic school through college. How do you not know Dorcas's?
Oh my God. All right. I think we've certainly okay. lost it on,
right.
on this
it
episode.
It is time.
So now, normally, this is when we would have the Kendra Thought of the Week. Unfortunately, she is not able to give it to us for this particular episode. We will have it for you in the listener feedback episode. So
hashtag
please.
Sick babies.
Oh, wait, hashtag mom life.
Right.
So
we feel you.
And Kendra, I get it. Please don't worry about it if you're listening to this right now. In the meantime, my darling, now that we don't have the being graced with Kendra's Thought of the Week,
She's
you now
smart.
Have the burden of getting my outlandish theory.
Oh my God. See, Kendra at least balances it out.
Want to let you know that this outlandish theory of the week is brought to you by Celtic Eternity. Please visit CelticEternity.com and get 10% off of Celtic and Scottish rings with the coupon code OutlanderCast.
One word, OutlanderCast.
Go see Mike, the owner. He is great. He will take care of you. You get it. You got somebody at a wedding. You got a girlfriend. You got an anniversary coming up.
You got a Dorcas.
You got a Dorcas. You never know. Dorcas. I bet you Dorcas would love a Celtic ring. She'd be all about the Celtic rings. Then she could probably sell it, you know, and move on from the trade. She wouldn't have to be. She wouldn't have to worry about her bubbies anymore.
No pancake bubbies for these ladies.
They don't go in their armpits. Oh man,
it's taking you so long.
You know what? We've off the rails for this episode. All right, so I haven't talked about the guy that Jamie runs into in the basement of the brothel for a reason. And the reason why I don't talk about him is because he was part of my outlandish theory of the week. This guy, I've got a feeling, is not going to be good news for...
Sorry, which guy? I was too busy trying to check on something. Yes?
The guy that Jamie goes downstairs into the basement to meet with all the alcohol.
Oh, he gives him the money?
Yes. Yeah. I've got a feeling this guy is not going to be good news for Clan Malcolm, okay?
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is, yes, because of the ending. I've got a feeling that that this guy sent the man at the end of the episode to Jamie's room to check out his ledgers to see if he is indeed selling alcohol beyond High Street. And Jamie was a badass, by the way. He's like, oh yeah, I expect 25% extra. And Jamie's like, yeah, you're going to be disappointed.
P.S. I took up some extra pennies for the elbow licking. But I loved when the guy was like, this is a little late. And I'm like, yeah, because the elbow that was just licked.
So my theory is not necessarily one that I'm this is take development. Okay. The nerds down the hall are still working on this one.
Okay.
But the theory is that the print shop is not long for this world in my eyes. And the reason why I say that is because they need to have a story going forward, and having both Jamie and Claire stuck in the print shop, in my opinion, is one that is not an interesting story. I think it's great to have. I think it's great to be a part of it, and it's great to start off this arc with it. But Jamie is—it's like the Scottish version of the mob. Okay, this guy, not a good guy, and I've got a feeling he's gonna do something to the print shop to get back at Jamie for not giving him his 25%. And I don't know what he's gonna do, but the print shop, in my opinion, is not long for this world, and that's probably what's gonna set Jamie and Claire off on their journey for the rest of the season. And that's that.
I'll give you an interesting.
You're not in on this one?
I don't know. I don't know what your brain does sometimes.
Oh, speaking of that, young Ian too, by the way. Young Ian shows up out of nowhere, and I feel like having him show up out of nowhere.
What do you mean out of nowhere?
He just kind of shows up. He's like, hey, it's Uncle Jamie. Like, hey, what's going on? Like, I understand Fergus.
Yeah.
But having young Ian just like...
chilling.
You know, like, okay, there it is.
He mentioned him earlier.
I feel like he is going to play a bigger role this season than what show watchers are gleaning from this episode. And it may... Oh.
You're so loud, yes?
Oh, my God. Okay, ready? Here it is.
Okay.
Here it is. Young Ian is going to be the reason why the print shop goes away, and it may be because this guy does something to young Ian, the English guy that Jamie works with.
How about Dorcas?
Dorcas is going to be left out.
What about the bubbies?
So there it is. That's my outlandish theory of the week.
Is what?
The English guy is going to do something to the print shop to shut it down, and he's going to hurt young Ian in some way.
Why?
That's just my opinion.
Why?
Because he knows that that this kid's close to Jamie. And How do you get the rest of the story to go, keep going forward? You have to give it something personal. You have to give it something personal stakes. This is what I've been worried about this show. Claire has been the de facto villain for the first, you know, portion of Outlander season 3.
Am I distracting you?
A little bit. Now, you need someone new. You need someone to get personal again,
yeah,
a la Black Jack Randall. Not Black Jack Randall, but someone of that ilk, okay, someone of that vein.
Okay.
And I got a feeling that it may not be this guy, but what happens to young Ian and what happens to the print shop is what sets the rest of the story off. And this guy, this English dude, is the one that's responsible for it. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. Charlie, what do you got for me?
Mock me.
Please hang up and try again.
What do you think? Is that good? Is that bad?
I think that you're very interesting to listen to.
That is neither a confirmation nor a put down. So I will take it. My love, final thoughts. What do you got for this episode?
Bubbies and Dorcas, man.
Bubbies and Dorcas. That's totally going to be on
Bubbies
new shirt.
And Dorcas and Bannix up the bum. Not Bannix up the bum. Never mind. It's a Bannix if you did it that way, because you gave a warm bit. Never mind.
Oh my god!
Anyway, I loved this episode. I'm glad I got you to laugh. I loved this episode so much. It's definitely going to be one of the most rewatched episodes for this household. I just adored it. I adored the set. I adored hearing that music again. Loved the awkwardness, and just didn't like the last 2 minutes.
Oh my God, I can't.
And now you guys will not be able to unsee Jamie tipping his hat, nor the 1:30 in the afternoon to suddenly nighttime.
Oh my God.
Nor will you hear the words Bubbies and Dorcas.
Ed Bannix and up the bum. I'm now gone. I've now quit. That's it.
There you go.
I'm out. I'm like Geordi. I quit. I'm getting while I'm ahead. I have no thoughts for the rest of the I'm just glad that we're back and we're talking about what we're talking about. And okay. It's good to see Claire and Jamie.
Let's wrap this puppy up.
All right, let's do it.
Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, sorry.
Once again, thank you so much for joining us on OutlanderCast. It is an absolute pleasure of Blake and mine to have you be our guests, become our family, become our friends. A great way to become even closer friend is to become a clan member, an OutlanderCast clan member. You can find us on Facebook. Just search OutlanderCast clan. Make sure that you give our official page, the OutlanderCast Facebook podcast and blog page, a big thumbs up. Sign up to get our newsletter. We're having giveaways going on every single week for the rest of the season. Currently, the giveaway is a shawl.
That's right. It's a gray shawl from the one that Claire kind of wears in the first season. It's from the Daniela Stang Etsy shop. So please go to that and check it out.
You can find it at outlandercast.com on the blog post, because Nikki, one of our bloggers, wrote about what to pack during time travel. So listen, after you've rewatched the episode like 50 times, you want to head on over to the outlandercast.com website. We have our previous episodes there. You can check out the interview with Steve McNutt. You can read the blog post. You can read the minute-by-minute synopsis. We've got so many things, but we especially want you to become a clan member, because you guys rock. And if you really love us, you can become a patron.
Yes, and one of the great things about being a patron is you go to patreon.com/outlandercast, and you get a chance to listen to my chapter-by-chapter analysis of the first book of the Outland series.
So if you've been sitting here being like, oh my God, Blake, flip and read the books. You don't know anything. Don't worry. He's reading Outlander. But the only way you can hear it, his chapter by chapter analysis and his thoughts on the first book, is by becoming a patron. But it really doesn't take much.
It's for as little as $2 per month, which is essentially just a cup of coffee, and you get a chance to not only listen to my chapter by chapter analysis, you get episodes in your Patreon feed before they actually go out to the live audience, wide release, And then it, for multiple levels that go up, you get free t-shirts and you get, you know, our show notes and you get special greetings from us and gift card. You don't get gift cards, but you get Christmas cards. You get a whole run of things.
And it's our little way of saying thank you for supporting this, because this little hobby of ours has become a mammoth of a exciting journey for us and our team. So we want to thank our team. Our team at OutlanderCast is unbelievable. We especially want to thank our patrons, Peg, Ann, Bobby, Christina, Sue, Keelan, Meredith, Liz, Dana, Nikki, Tara, Jennifer, Lauren, Heather, and Marilyn. They are such high patrons that I want to make sure that I can mention them in every episode. So thank you guys so much. And I hope you have a great week. We are going to be having a listener feedback episode, so feel free to reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. You could find us by searching OutlanderCast.
Or you could call the OutlanderCast hotline, which is 503. So, oh my God, I don't know it. 503.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, what am I? How do I not know this number
now?
You
just have to go to OutlanderCast.com and click
503-454-6730. Boom, there you go, got it. Or you can just go to OutlanderCast.com and record a message through the Call Us option on OutlanderCast.com, and it records a message either through your smartphone or your computer.
So it's easy to get in touch. We love to be social. So thank you once again. My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to OutlanderCast.
And Dorcas and Bubbies.